You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Dork Podcast. Rich Keith. It's the Dork Podcast.
Ryan Davis.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the Hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keefe, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs. He is Rick Rude Von Dick Dude. He is Hermes, the instant messenger god. All hail the king of ginger ale. It's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
Speaking of 20 years ago, I'm pretty good. You know what I did today?
What's that?
You're not going to fucking believe what I did today.
You played one-on-one paintball with a friend.
Oh, that would have been sick. I didn't.
No.
I went for a run today for the first time in 20 years. I went for a run.
Why? What happened?
It's that I'm there, man. I've hit physical rock bottom.
Yeah.
Like I'm at the point where I'm like,
yeah,
it's now or never. Like I'm 41 years old. Like it's now or never. Like if I'm going to get in shape, it has to happen now. Like I have to start. I had COVID, as you know, and then
yeah. How you feeling?
I feel fine, but I spent a week like not doing anything and like eating like shit because I couldn't go anywhere, right? So just like eating like shit and like ordering out food or whatever, and I feel horrible. So I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna invest a little money. I got some shoes. I'm gonna go for a run. I ran for 4 miles today. That's the furthest I've ever run.
I swear to God, not trying to make you feel better, I couldn't do that. And I think just over a mile into said run, I'm pretty sure I would have thrown up.
Here's the thing. So I've been doing a lot of research, right? And the problem is with people like us, we are sprint sport people.
Yeah.
Right. So it's difficult for me not to run as fast as I can for as long as I can. You actually have to force yourself to slow down. Yeah. And that's how I did it. Like I had to like slow myself down.
Got it. Got it.
And I as I'm doing it, I'm like, I must look like a complete dickhead. like running this slow, but I did it. And I did it in like, you know, it took me, I'm not going to tell you the time. It took me a lot of time, but I did 4 miles today.
Not going to time shame you. I don't care if you walked 4 miles. That's depressing.
Well, it was timed. So I ran for 45 minutes. So you can do the math there, but I ran for about 4+ miles.
Yeah, it's like 11 minute miles. It's not bad.
It was like 10:40 or something. Miles.
That's like, fuck.
Wasn't killing myself.
No.
You know?
But hey, you're back on that horse now.
I'm back.
On that horse.
I'm back.
The proverbial horse. So,
that's what I did today. That's post-COVID me. I'm new me. Right. You know?
All new you.
Life.
Right. Guess what? We have a very special night here tonight. It's the first ever Hashtag Dork doubleheader. We've never done this. We've done double dorks. Those are different things. That's if you have two or more dorks in a week. This is two dorks in one night. We're going to split it up so it's going to be two separate YouTube videos and two separate podcasts. But these are two of the biggest topics of the entire year. You have an MCU movie, and you have season 3 of The Boys. So our topic du jour is going to be Thor, Love, and Thunder today. But go nowhere. Or if you're listening to this, you're like, they didn't talk about The Boys this week. We're going to talk about The Boys. So sure look for that separate episode.
It's a double-ended dork.
That's right. Let's just leave it there. Double the pleasure, some would say.
It's double the pleasure. Have you seen the movie Requiem for a Dream?
You can't unsee Requiem for a Dream.
We're getting two of the biggest topics of the year, ass to ass, is what we're doing. That's what we're doing right now.
So I don't know if I told the story on the podcast, but when we were in high school, somebody said, and they, I don't know if it was a bad job out of them or a bad job out of me for not having any follow-ups, but they were just like, Requiem for a Dream is one of the best movies I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, it's so good. It didn't really add a whole lot else. Maybe said it was like real world shit. Maybe.
Yeah.
But like they just put it over to such a degree that I went and bought the DVD.
Sure did. Yep.
Didn't really know what to expect. Popped it in, was watching it at home. like an after, like a lazy afternoon.
Sure enough.
And I'm watching, I'm like, all right, this is pretty intense. And then that last scene of the movie is the scene where my mom comes walking in.
Sure.
She's like, what are you watching? And I'm like, I wasn't prepared myself for this.
Yeah.
And this is horrible.
My dream girl. And like Jennifer Connelly. And I remember watching that being like, no, that's not what I wanted.
Let's never speak of this again.
It was one of the only movies. I watched it for the first time with a group of people, a room full of people. And it was one of the only times where the credits were rolling in absolute silence. No one said a word for like 5 minutes. It was just like, and then I think somebody broke the silence by going like, what the fuck?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That should be, I would say instead of like the DARE program, just throw that on for middle school kids. There you go. Or sixth grade. Yeah, give this a go. You gotta watch. Bet you don't touch the stuff. Bet you don't.
Yeah, don't touch that.
All right. On a much brighter, it really couldn't go more to opposite ends of the spectrum. But before we get to the topic, let's get to the news.
This week in Dork. Yeah.
Well, Better Call Saul is back tonight, Ryan. I think the finals at a 6-episode push to the final season. Yeah, so set your DVRs. Thanks.
Okay, in 9 minutes. Set your DVR. Yep.
We're about to lose all of our watchers, listeners right now and when Better Call Saul. But set your DVR. I know I already did that. I'll be watching it either tonight or first thing tomorrow when I get an opportunity. There have been a ton of awesome TV shows this year.
Jesus Christ. Can you believe
it? It's insane. It's better than the movies. It's way better than the movies. And I don't know if that's always the way. I got to go back and look at it. But it's just been one hit after another. And I've been like, I've just been all in on these TV shows. But this is one of the few that legit has a chance to be the best show of the year.
Meaning The Boys.
I'm talking about Better Call Saul, but you're right.
Oh, Better Call Saul. Oh, yeah. You threw me a little bit. Yeah, Better Call Saul. Right. I think this show, I when you told me that there was going to be a spinoff of Breaking Bad, if you told me 7 years ago that there's going to be a spinoff of Breaking Bad and it's going to be just as good or better at some points than Breaking Bad, I would be like, no fucking way. You're out of your mind. Like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah.
And this show has surpassed every expectation I've had for it. The writing is so good. Mm-hmm. Bob Odenkirk is so... Oh, the supporting cast, Rhea Seehorn is so good.
Oof, she's great.
So good. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a short list right now, but The Boys, Better Call Saul, Barry, Severance, The Bear that we talked about last week on Hulu. That's five right there that are ridiculous. Stranger Things, I love. That's ridiculous.
And you have, whatever...
All these Marvel ones.
And Star Wars ones, which aren't doing so great. Yeah. When does Andor come out? Does Andor come out this year?
I think it does, yeah.
Yeah, it comes out like August or something?
Toss that on the pile. Yep, yeah. I think it is. It might be next month.
Mm-hmm.
One of the movies I know you got circled is Clerks 3.
Fuck me, man.
Last week on the episode, we had the poster. The trailer has since come out. What did you think?
It's so stupid. It's so stupid. Stop. Like, I'm tired of listening to this, and I'm tired of listening to people be like, oh, no, like Jason Snoochie Boochie's in the trailer. They're actually making fun of the fact that they made this third movie and they didn't have to, like, rehashing old ideas. Like, there's like a meta joke in there or whatever, right? They're making fun of you. They're making fun of you. Like, do you understand that? Like, those types of jokes are making fun of you for fucking watching the shit. Stop.
I can usually defend Kevin Smith. I like Kevin Smith a lot. I think he's done a lot for the dork world. He is definitely one of us and then some.
Yeah.
This one is like, it's kind of painful. It's like an old timers game, or it's like watching like old wrestlers who should have retired years ago, like going back out there and doing the same moves. And you're like, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see you stop doing that. Don't do that.
And though it's so on the nose too, because Randall has a heart attack and then decides like he's going to turn his life around, which is exactly what happened to Kevin Smith.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck?
He told a story once. I think it might've been on Rogan, where Kevin Smith tried all these different diets after his heart attack.
Yeah.
One of them was a potato diet where you're allowed to eat as many potatoes as you want, but you can only eat potatoes and you can't put anything on the potatoes.
So you just boil a potato or like bake a potato and just eat the shit out of it?
Yeah.
And he lost weight?
Yeah, but then he's like, you realize you actually don't like potatoes. He's like, you realize you like
if you eat any one thing for a month, you're going to hate that thing.
You'd probably hate that thing.
Unless it's ginger ale. By the way, breaking news flash. I found something that I love. Yeah, hit it.
Now, a hashtag dork news flash.
My wife asked me if I love one food thing more than I love ginger ale. And the answer is yes. I found it.
What's that?
Freeze pops.
Oh, good freeze pop.
Give me like She bought the 100. And I used to do this when I was a kid, but I now did it at 41, which is emotional and physical rock bottom. This was part of it.
Yeah.
Just to tie it back. She goes, how many of those have you had? And I go, what do you mean? She's like, you've walked back and forth like three times and you've had like several freeze pops in your hand both times. I go, I went just like this because I used to do this when I was a kid. You got to taste the rainbow.
Get them all.
You can eat one of each.
A little bit.
She's like, you do that? I'm like, yeah, they're delicious.
My normal sit down as a kid was six. You'd rip a sixer out.
Like the one sleeve of it. Yeah.
One scissor out, boom, cut the six, and then go sit in front of the TV with six.
This is why we get along, because you get me. That's it. You got to taste the rainbow, man. You got to have one of each flavor.
I wouldn't say I love all the flavors. I think it's really hard to separate the flavors at the top. Personally, I would always leave orange and grape. Purple and orange were my least favorite. I can eat them, but
My least favorite's pink. I do like the grape. I don't like pink.
Oh, I like pink. I love the pink.
Double-headed dork, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go.
Yep. All right, some sad news.
Pick of the bomb.
Two of them since we've last spoke. Man. Two big ones, too. James Caan and Polly Walnuts. Tony Sirico, I think it is.
Yep.
But the guy who played Polly Walnuts in The Sopranos, who was maybe the best character, or at least he's in the short list of best characters on the show. But both passed away this week. James Caan, he is the reason specifically why I like Godfather 1 more than Godfather 2, because Sonny Corleone is my favorite character.
What a bad day for people who make being Italian their personality. You know, like what a bad day for them.
It stinks. Yep. Not good.
Minga, as they would say, right?
They might say that. Yeah, might say that.
Marone.
Not good.
Not good. Yeah.
Comes in threes, by the way, so keep your head on a swivel.
I had a pick of the pod myself. I was gonna make it the actual pick of the pod, but one of my favorite things in the world, the lo-fi hip hop, the lo-fi girl, the streaming channel that plays lo-fi hip hop all day.
Yeah.
Stopped streaming.
Died.
Like pretty much, yeah. In internet sense, yeah. It's been going for like 23,000 hours or something. Bummer. You know the little girl at the desk playing the little hip hop.
Yeah, I guess that is the third death then.
That's you're it. Gonna say, yeah,
James Caan, Polly Walnuts, and the girl that plays
the lo-fi girl. Yeah,
yeah,
it sucks.
Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power teaser. You in on this? You out on this, or are you like half in?
I'm a wait and see.
Yeah, me too. There's so many shows, but I'm not ruling it out, but I'm not like counting down the days for it either. All right, email of the episode time. You can email us anytime, 24/7, 365, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. This one comes in from Evan. He says, hey, boys, big fan here. Avid listener of the podcast for a couple of years now. About to have my first kid, maybe by the time of the next show. Was wondering if you could go over some tips about those first couple of days/months. Thanks, Evan.
That's a big one. First of all, congratulations,
Evan. Absolutely.
If you're listening, congratulations. If you're in the hospital right now watching this, as you should. There is no, the only thing that like the first thing that popped into my head is there's no scoreboard, right? So do not do like, all right, I changed the last diaper, so you change this one. There is no scoreboard. You're there to help. Like you help when you can.
Good advice. Right?
If your wife is breastfeeding, you can't help there, so you have to help other places. So what I would say is keep the house clean. When Molly Ringwald, by the way, is talking and she talks about keeping your side of the street clean, that's the advice I would give. It's like you control what you can control, right? And sleep when the baby sleeps. That's my advice.
That's great advice. Yeah, because sleeping's going to be tough. Your sleep pattern is going to be thrown off, and then you might find yourself kind of more irritable than you normally would, and you just have to stop and be like, all right, what is this? You know what I mean? Like, first of all, you're dealing with your wife who has just carried the baby for 9 months and has just given birth and is now, like, exhausted. And right. then you didn't do anything. You didn't. So now you need to just make sure that it's easy for her. And then now you're keeping a human alive now is your other job. So
we've talked about things you do. Here's what you don't do. And this is a true story. This is what I did. So when I'm uncomfortable, my default is to go to humor and to make jokes. That's how I deal with uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. When my wife was having contractions with my first daughter, she would make noises that sounded like we were in the act.
Ooh.
Right?
Nice.
So when a hard contraction hit, and I mean, she's going to kill me. She's not home right now, so she's going to kill me for doing this. But she would go like, ha! And then I would go, hi-ya! Like, and I would do it as loud as I could. And she would start laughing and be like, fucking stop. Stop.
Don't do that.
And I go, hi-ya! And don't do that. Don't do that.
I actually, this is like a million to one odds, but when your wife was first having your first child, I should say, the whole place was mic'd up and they sent me a clip.
That's her.
You got a freaking explode inside you. I'm going to spill it. I'm going to fill you up.
I'm going to fill you up.
What?
I'm going to fill you up.
Just let me do the talking.
I would make that noise.
that was your contribution to really the whole thing.
You know what's great about when you play that? I can like check my phone and like check messages.
You have time.
I got like a minute and a half, so I can take a little
break. My favorite part is a few people just joined the show during that, and that was the first thing I heard. So that also makes me smile. But congratulations, Evan. Let us know how everything went. Yeah, I would just say keep your cool, listen to your wife. That's really the best advice I have.
Or be proactive. Anticipate needs.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes. Ryan, guess what else? Guess what else we have today? It's a very special dork doubleheader. So I got one other thing for you. That's right, folks. That's the Should I Have Bought This Sounder? And it's brought to you by 47 Brand. Go to 47brand.com. Enter the promo code hashtag dork at checkout for 25% off your entire order. Hats, shirts, sweatshirts. They even have little kid stuff. Evan, so you got a little kid now. You can get them stuff over there at 47 Brand. So you email us, dorkpodcast@gmail.com, something that you bought, $25 or more, and Davey and I will answer the question, should I have bought this? This one comes in from Joe. He says, hello, guys. I've been waiting to send this into you guys. I thought this week would be a perfect week to do it. Let's pull up the picture here, Rye. Describe that for the listener, not the viewer.
That is a to scale Stormbreaker.
Yeah.
Like a production quality Stormbreaker.
That is a big old thorax.
So he's standing there. God love you, Joe. You're standing there in your dork t-shirt, your hashtag dork t-shirt.
That's sucking up to the judges a little bit, but I like it.
I like that too. So if you're looking at, I don't know how tall Joe is, but let's say he's an average size man. 5'9", 5'10". It comes up to his chin.
Yeah,
that thing is massive.
Thing is huge. It's an absolute unit. And he's got another photo here, Rye. It's laying on the bed.
Jesus Christ. So that thing's got to be 5 feet tall, right?
Oh, yeah. It takes up a whole side of the bed.
Yeah.
Thing's enormous. Look, he's got the little axe part on the pillow. He's got the hanging down. So it's big. Let's put it that way. I'm not sure how
Joe
much
says he's 5'11", so he's above average height.
Thank oh, Joe's Joe. In the chat. Perfect.
Yep.
Thank you, Joe. So 5'11". He's a 5'11" man like myself. Mm-hmm. And all right, so he's got the axe there. He says, I bought it online last summer. It cost me blank. My wife thinks that I am crazy for spending that much for a toy.
Oh, okay.
So I sent her to Valhalla. Yep, so he's now a wanted man. But
well, at least she died in battle. So at least she went down swinging. Cool.
That's what that means. He says, he sent me a separate video. I didn't upload that, but it also makes noise, right? You can. There's a button up top. Yep, it makes a noise, like a stormy kind of like, yeah, battle-y noise. He goes, and then this I love, and this is huge for me. He has seen it online on other sites for more money. That always makes me feel good.
That makes okay. Yep.
So he's been on. He's shopped around on this. He spent X on it. He has seen it for more, and so that's already a deal in my mind. Already a deal. So before we answer the question, we got to know how much it costs. Would you like to take a stab? How much this Stormbreaker?
So we have to. This is where I do like. I'm going to walk you through this. This is where I do my math. All right. So we have evidence here that his wife told you you're crazy.
Yes.
So right then, it's over $100, right? He then says, I've seen it for more, which means it's still pretty high. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say that this cost $199.95.
Out the door. Ryan, what if I told you he spent $100 on it? A smooth 100. He has seen it on other sites for $175.
Okay, so what I'm going to say to that is 12 a.m. to 11:59 p.m. You know what?
This
I know
is that how is? We do it.
This is how we do it.
Well said by Josh from the chat. This is everything Friar's Helmet wished it could be.
This is what Friar's Helmet thinks it is. Exactly. But my 12 a.m. to 11:59 p.m., that's fucking all day, baby. That's all day $100. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Rob just said he got it for less than the wand. The wand. Oh, my God. I was talking to Goo this weekend. He was telling somebody else about the wand. He's like, somebody's like, it's just so outrageous. You're right. He got it for less than the wand. $100 is outrageous. $100. I didn't even think I wanted this, but now that I know I can get it for $100, I think I might buy one of these.
I was just saying the same thing. Have you seen It's Always Sunny when they're talking about like revenge porn and Mac is like, oh my God, that's awful. Where did he post that? Right. Same thing. Like, oh no, that's too much money. Where did you buy this?
Be specific. Yeah. $100. and awesome. Well done, by the way, Joe, to send it in this week for this episode. Perfect. Now when somebody's like, hey, what episode was the Stormbreaker? Easy to remember. That was a slam dunk. Now,
that might have been the easiest should I have bought this in other than the monkey dick. That was probably obvious.
Yeah. All right. What was the line for you that you would have broke? Like that you wouldn't have said yes.
Over 200, I would have said I would no.
Yeah, good over point. 200. I think 200, I would have been like, that's a pretty badass thing because you can hang that up, you can swing it around.
It would be right there, hanging on the wall. Yeah, sleep walk around it. Dorm duty with it on.
It's pretty sweet. So, congrats, Joe.
Yeah, man,
you earned it. All right, let's keep moving here on this doubleheader.
I'm gonna show you my weapon. I got a weapon too. Yeah,
you have a weapon.
Play it.
Right. It's time for Davey's video game minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
All right, I don't mean to take this to a dark place, all right? But I'm a teacher by trade. Shit. People know this, right? So awful things happen in schools. I don't want to get into it. But basically, people tell you you should keep something in your classroom that like...
Oh, boy. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You're not wrong.
So I'm a baseball coach and a teacher. So I got this thing. Check this out. This is an axe bat, so it has an axe handle.
Oh my God. Did you see that video that was going around of some guy trying to break in some guy's house and he like stuck his hand through like the mail slot to try to grab the door and the guy was in the house and he had one of those bats and he fucking went nuts on his wrist?
It's a one-hand, this is a one-handed trainer bat. So like when you swing in, you can like top hand, bottom hand. Should I have bought this? So it's axe handle. You can even know the price. Guess the price for this little sweetheart right here.
All right. So who makes that?
Axe bat.
Oh, so axe bat. Yeah. And that's like, it's got a little weight to it.
It's like a miniature aluminum. It's a scale size of one of their actual bats.
I'll say it was $79.99.
40 bucks.
This is how we do it.
That's a nice piece, and it's good in close combat and like hallway fight. You're just in there battering.
This is made to smash.
Yeah,
with the axe handle. So 22 inches.
Whew.
So
wow, jealous.
And
anyway, yeah,
girth. All right, so we're already off the rails here. All right, Davey's video game minute. We'll make this quick. So get this. So a game has been developed. It's called Endeavor RX. This game is specific. It's a tablet game. You need a prescription to play this game. The prescription, this game can be prescribed for people with ADHD.
Oh boy.
You need a prescription
I've heard about this.
It came out 2 years ago. And the reason I'm talking about it now is this is unprecedented. Do you know what this game recently achieved?
No.
FDA certification. The Food and Drug Administration has now accepted this. It's been developed with neuroscientists. So if you have anyone in your life who has ADHD, you can get them this game and it will help them. It'll help like neurons fire in their brain and like help them organize and like stay on task and like all these things. So I was fascinated reading this story.
That's pretty
cool.
As an
educator, like you're like, all right, cool. Like how can we do these things? Like project-based things to keep things on task. Actually really cool, right?
Wow.
Happy 15th birthday this week to Assassin's Creed.
Oh,
the very first Assassin's Creed came out 15 years ago.
I'm a fan.
And what a treat that game was.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the original Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
That has gone so high and then steadily. A couple blips along the way. I think Brotherhood was my favorite. Or no, Black Flag was probably my favorite. And then kind of a steady decline.
I think three. And what was the one like after?
Three's the one in America.
Oh, it is? Oh.
Black Flag was the pirate one. That one's
not that one.
I forget Brotherhood.
Maybe it was Brotherhood. I played
Brotherhood was awesome. Yeah. And you can go like, and you can like call other ones in.
100% was that one. Yep.
There's Odyssey and Valhalla and like or whatever. Yeah. So there that is. I finished The Quarry.
How's that?
It was great. Yeah. It was super good. Choose your own adventure thing. My wife and I took turns making decisions.
Nice.
So that was really cool. You can actually do a thing. It's called couch co-op. So it'll like you can have two controllers, but you can like it switches.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah. And I give it a 4.5 out of 6 stones. So the only thing that hurts it, like replayability, I don't know if I would replay it again.
Mm-hmm.
But it was good. So for the price, if you're getting it on sale, get it on sale. And this is kind of bad. So you heard about the Abe, the guy who was assassinated in Japan.
Yeah.
They wrongly identified Hideo Kojima as the assassin. Hideo Kojima is the creator of Metal Gear.
Yeah. That's crazy.
They put his picture on the news and everything. And, like people were looking for him. Like
oh
it was
my
bad.
God.
Super bad. But that's I wanted to keep it brief. So that's what that was it. That was game brief.
Very good, Ryan. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Y'all ready for bisque?
All right, topic du jour time.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad you asked. It's the topic of the day. And today, we actually have two of them. But for right now, it is Thor, Love and Thunder, the 29th MCU movie, part of Phase 4 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It ran 2 hours and 5 minutes. It is the fourth Thor film. And last check on Roddy T's, 68% by the critics, 83%. By the audience. So we begin as we do with all of our movie and TV show reviews, spoiler free. Ryan, did you like it?
Sure.
Yeah.
Fine.
You said sure. Yeah, sure. Fine.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. Fine. Like, no, I think I wrote in my notes. I wrote sure. Exclamation.
Sure. I did.
Sure. I did.
Yep. Yeah.
Did you like it? What'd you think?
I liked it. I would say right off the jump. Good. Not great.
They should call it like and Thunder.
Yeah.
Kind of like in Thunder.
Like, kind of liked.
Like in Thunder. We should get Goo or Billy D to make that poster. Thor, like in Thunder.
Like Yeah, I didn't love it, but again, I liked it. And again, I don't.
Yeah,
it's one of those ones where, well, first of all, we might have a bigger discussion, and we've hit on this occasionally in really the last year, I guess, off and on.
You know what Marvel they should have done?
Oh, what's that?
You know they should have done. I was just thinking about it graphically. They should have made the four look like an H, so it said Thor, but it had like a four in it.
Yeah, that would have helped.
That would have helped it.
That would have really pumped it up at least a couple of Roddy T points.
Exactly.
All right, Ryan, we have a big philosophical question.
Sure.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe after Endgame or Infinity War and Endgame. Like, what are we doing? Where are we going? The movies for a while, really, like phase one, if you go back and watch it, it was kind of all over the map. Really, Iron Man was what stood out, some character development, and then Avengers was awesome. And then two, it was also like hit or miss. And then by three, you're like, all right, every movie's pretty good. And you're just waiting for like, how's this going to tie in with Thanos? How's this going to tie in with everybody? And then the final two movies really couldn't have done a whole lot better. And then they're like, we're going to keep going. And you're like, great. I want you to keep going. But now I think people just have a hard time figuring out what the hell they're supposed to watch. Is it a one-off movie? Is this going somewhere? Is it not? What do we do?
So we were talking as we were leaving the theater, and I said, this is such a delicate thing, because if I come into this space right here and I start saying, this is bullshit, like, blah, 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 like I sound like a man baby who needs his comic book movies to be better, right? And I'm not that person, right? Cool. But I think what you said, and I think what annoys me a little bit, is they were right there. I feel like the Russo brothers touched cinema with this. I would never say that about like a movie about like a comic book here. They're like, it needs to be cinema. But they showed you that it is possible. Mm-hmm. And like you said, with one exception, other than like No Way Home, I feel like they've taken a step back with all of this stuff. And I think I did call that.
Yeah.
Go back and listen. I think I did.
Yeah. I think so.
It's just not going to be that good. And if you're setting up Secret Wars, I'm a little worried about that.
Yeah. And I think, and we talked about this at the time too, with once you open up the multiverse, that's great. But I also think it can get a little out of hand. It's not going to be as grounded as the other ones were. It can't be. And then you start as soon as they started introducing like Skrulls and Krees, and then there's multiple versions of this character, you're like, all right,
and like gods and like gods and goddesses from like different cultures, like now it's getting kind of fucking weird.
I think and they're just overdoing it. They're doing mm-hmm. 3-4 movies on top of 3 TV shows every year that are also supposed to tie in and eventually pay off. They're planning out the MCU for 10 years. But you're like, well, some movies are going to do better than others. So there's going to be some kind of storylines that set up sequels that are going to disappear, and then others that sort of get sped up. So I still like it. I'm still going to see all these movies. But I almost wonder if, like, we almost need like a phase 4 grading curve or something. Because the phase 4 movies to this point in order are Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals, Spider-Man, No Way Home, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, and Thor, Love and Thunder.
Morbius.
That is not. I don't think it is recognized by Disney Plus and the MCU. I think
they fucking put there's people in the fucking
I think
Michael Keaton is in Morbius.
That's Sony. I don't think the MCU accepts. I don't think Kevin Feige says that's canon.
It's not Morbin time for him.
It's not Morbin time. For me, I would say in order, it would go No Way Home, this movie that we just saw. Mm-hmm. And then my order is a little bit different. I would probably actually go Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Doctor Strange, Eternals. That's how I would do these six.
So you said Black Widow, then?
Then Shang-Chi, then Doctor Strange, then Eternals.
I would flip those two and then keep the rest the same.
Yeah. All right.
And again, like that's one of those things you're like, okay. Like,
no, nothing's not, none of these are, and that's the other thing with like the Thor movies. Unless somebody is just being obtuse, and I don't even know your answer, but I feel like I do know your answer. I think the Thor movies couldn't be more clearly ranked. Any sane person would go Ragnarok, Love and Thunder, the original Dark World.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's really up for debate. Like anybody else is like, actually, the order, I'd be like, well, why? How could you possibly switch the order on that?
The other thing too is like, what's crazy is this is a, at its heart, this is a comedy movie. Like, this is supposed to be funny. Like, it's not, it's supposed to be, like, dare I say it, Schumacher-esque. Like, this is like farce at this point.
Yeah, which is funny because they also had a one of the most serious villains of all time. They also had one of the most serious what a character was dealing with, also as serious as topic as you can get and as real world and as grounded as you can get. And then also as slap and tickle a movie as we've seen in the MCU as well. So like Taika Waititi can do that though. Like Taika Waititi to Jojo Rabbit, which is
the heaviest of heavy thing and make it heartwarming and funny. Like, yeah, I don't know how you do that.
But. So I don't know how you do that either. But I also just think, you know, it's good. Like the movie's good. And I think that's, it was sort of to be expected, right? Like it's Taika Waititi. We saw what he did with Ragnarok. Cause it's funny. Like all of a sudden people on Twitter now are like, oh, the first two Thor movies were like dark and gritty. And these last two are like fluorescent colors. You're like, yeah, the first two weren't very good. Like these two are good. Like Ragnarok's better, but these two are good.
And again, I think you have to resign yourself to the fact that like, these are fucking ridiculous. Like these stories are ridiculous.
They're
into it.
Right. Especially when you have Thor and the Guardians of the Galaxy and these characters that aren't Earth characters. Like I hope it's fun and like ridiculous at times,
but I could hear like non-Marvel comic book movie fans being like, oh, the movie with the talking raccoon wasn't good enough for you.
Yeah
like there's always those people, so like I get those people too, but
yeah, but I mean for me
there's
like
a level of expectation. Yeah.
I enjoyed it, but like I didn't love it. Like I've had other ones where like when I saw Guardians 1 I loved it, and like that was goofy at times, that was silly, like you said, talking trees and raccoons and the whole thing, and I absolutely loved it. Ragnarok, I even had more fun with. You and I remember we both gave Ragnarok a 5, like a rock hard 5. Like not a top in our mind, top 4 or 5 MCU movie, but like right in that next tier down. And Thor, Love and Thunder. Well, actually, we'll save that for a second. Did you think is it the funniest MCU movie? Because I think it was shooting for that, but in your mind, was it?
No, but there were times where I laughed out loud.
See, I had a lot of let me try to reenact it. I had a lot of
I had one good ha.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I didn't like spill into the front, like the row in front of me like I did watching Old School the first time in theater back in the day, or I didn't piss myself laughing like I did in Borat or some of those other movies.
I literally fell out of my seat watching Borat.
Yeah, Borat, I remember just like wiping my like tears out of my eyes, like trying to like, I thought it was like, it was, I like the characters enough and I like some of the comedy, but I didn't think it was actually that funny. Like, I think if I just sat here and did a rewatch of all the MCU movies, it might be a top 5 funny movie. Like, I think the Guardians movies are both funnier than this.
I can't wait to tell you what part I laughed the hardest at.
All right.
It's fucking absurd.
Right.
It's absurd.
I don't know if you've done your MCU rankings. I think again, this at a 29, I think I put it 12th for right now, which is like a good, this is pretty up there. I feel like people could have it maybe as high as 10 and no lower than say 20, but there's all those movies in between that if you came to me and you're like, I like Ant-Man better, I'd be like, all right, fine. Like, all right,
but to me, like, I like to do it in tiers. Like, there's the three tiers of Marvel movies, right? And this is smack dab in the middle.
Yeah, this is the middle.
Like you said, it's like an Ant-Man. It's
middle,
like
upper middle. Yeah.
Like middle, upper middle movie.
Yeah, and I think even like the Spider-Mans. This one's better than Far From Home, but like Homecoming and No Way Home, I liked better.
Yes. But it's right in the mix with, like you said, it's Black Widow, Shang-Chi. It's in that mix. It's good.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, it's not a bad movie.
Now, must see movie for everybody, or would you say just a must see fan for like comic book fans?
I mean, if you've seen all of them, you got to see it. If you've come this far, you need to, and if you're planning on keep going.
I was talking about this. I did like a spoiler free review real quick on the radio, and I was saying, you know, we're so bought into these movies that I'm not sure what it would take to stop watching them. It might be like 3 in a row, like the Eternals or
they
something like
tried. They tried with
I know
Morbius. They fucking tried to be like,
stop flipping Morbius in. They don't count.
I count it.
They're like, please don't. You're gonna get a letter from Kevin Feige being like, this is not
cease and desist. Like, please stop
it's
saying
not a part Morbius. Of it. Stop trying to lump it in. We're not counting it. All right. What is your hashtag dork score? Actually, is there anything else non-spoiler you want to hit on?
Mm-mm.
Like the tone and the characters and the action and the comedy.
No, it's all because you can't do that without spoiling it. Yeah.
All right, your hashtag dork score for Thor: Love and Thunder.
4.
I'm gonna go 4.5, but I hear you. I hear 4. You on where you're coming at.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Like it's good. It's worth seeing.
It's fine. Yeah.
It's weird because I feel like what happens is anytime a movie gets like negative pub, people come out and react to defend it, and they go the other way. So I felt like just scrolling through, and this isn't everybody, but just scrolling through on Twitter over the weekend, I'm like, I don't think this film is like properly rated. People either like are pissed at it and hate it and don't think it's good, or they're like, it's awesome and it's the best Thor. I'm like, I don't think any of this is right.
No, I think it's fine, which is the worst. It's the worst.
Yeah. See, I think it's a notch above that, but I get your point completely. So, all right, let's dive into spoilers.
Spoilers! 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 Here come the spoilers!
All right, we already knew, because again, there's no secrets in Hollywood, and you have to know who's in every movie and who's playing every role. We knew that Christian Bale was going to be joining the MCU, and he was going to play Gore the God Butcher, which is a very interesting character. And the movie just opens up with like a real quick Gore origin story. What did you think of Christian Bale in this movie, and what did you think of sort of the juxtaposition of this type of character with Thor, Valkyrie, Korg, Meek, the whole crew?
See, I think at its core, this is the biggest issue I had with this movie, is that that character could have been like a Killmonger. It could have been a character where you're like, where he's like, see, like, this is what I'm talking about. Like when they go to, I forget the omnipotent city or whatever the fuck they call it.
Yeah.
We're like, see, these people are fucking assholes. And again, this is a character. This movie dealt with, like you said, really heavy things. This being one of them, right? That this character finds out after they showed his daughter dying, but his entire family dies, like starves and whatever. And he finds out that not only do gods exist, but they actually went out of their way not to help him.
Yeah, right. They could care less.
So then he becomes conflicted because the Necrosword is attached to another god. No.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's conflicted because, like, all right, I'm actually working for a god now when I'm trying to kill all these other ones. I'm doing his work, right? Yeah. So there's all these things at play, right? And you turned him into, there was flashes of that at times where you had Christian Bale as Gore explaining these things to Thor and explaining these things to other characters. And then there was that scene with him like trying to scare the kids and like kidnapping kids. And he just seemed like a normal villain. It didn't make sense to me. Like it didn't make sense. And like you said, with the goofiness of the rest of the movie, it didn't really work.
My biggest issue with it, and again, I don't know what this says about me, I couldn't stand all the kid stuff. Like it was just way too reliant on kid. You had like a kid battle, a kid fight at the end. All the stuff you saw with Gore, that relationship with the kids and Thor jumping in with the kids. And then ultimately what happens at the end with Gore's kid and the whole, I'm like, I don't personally want that.
And so we got into a little bit of an argument. My wife and I got into a little bit of an argument about this because I said, I didn't like the kid stuff either.
Yeah.
And I said, that was kind of silly to me. Like that seemed like a stupid thing to do and easy. It seemed easy mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, how would you, I was like, you could have separated Jane from Mjolnir and him kidnap her. And then Thor would have had a reason to go. You could have done a litany of other things, but you chose to do kids in a cage. That doesn't make sense to me. Like that seemed weird.
Yeah. I also think that we're sort of jumping around here because I want to go back to Gore in a second, but they also like completely wasted the Guardians of the Galaxy to me. Like why even have him in it? That was so nothing. It was because they were told they were in it. And I know you don't want to just separate the two, but they easily could have just gotten away with it with like Thor could have like told some story about how like, oh, like it was really hard to leave, but like I had to do it, blah, blah, blah. Like they didn't want to. And you could have done like a 2-second scene. Like they kept them in it just long enough. So you're like, you wanted something, but there wasn't anything good with the best group on the whole MCU. It was kind of
a fear. In my thinking spot in my house, I had a theory about this.
Yes.
So James Gunn has been very adamant that, like, after the next Guardians of the Galaxy, he's done. Like, okay, this crew is done. Remember these, like, they're done. Like, after this.
Yeah, one. I know Drax is done. Like, Batista's done.
Right. So my theory is that they were contractually obligated for one more movie, and this gets them out of it.
Oh, you mean after three?
By being in this movie.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there was, like, there, because they signed like 5-6 movie deals, right?
Got it. Oh, maybe.
So I think, like,
but, like, after what a waste.
This one.
Like, Jesus.
No, Christ. But they had to burn it. It's like, yeah, a card they had to burn just to, like, all right, we got them in a movie, so that fulfills that contract.
Yeah, no, you could be right. Yeah. But circling back to Gore, I thought he was great. Like, Christian Bale is one of the best actors of our time. He's scary. Like, what an awesome look. What a cool power. What a great reason for being a villain. Right. Like, it's not just like, you know, we talk about this all the time. It's like, taking over the world. Like, really? You want the responsibility of ruling the world? Like, yeah, that's like,
I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, everybody listen to me. I got picked on as a kid. You're like, all right.
Yeah.
Well,
no, this was a character that could have been the best villain in the MCU. Could have been.
Yeah. I still think he's might be cracking the top 5 or 6. Because if you have Killmonger, Thanos.
But I love when you saw him coming out of the shadows.
Yeah.
He had the Gore face.
Awesome.
With, like, the no nose and everything. He looked kind of like a skull.
Yeah.
And then as he came into the light, you could actually see his actual face. Like, I thought that was pretty awesome.
That was really well done.
And did you read why they didn't do that with him? With the nose? Because Gore has, like, no nose.
Well, just because he's male?
No, they didn't want him to look like Voldemort from Harry Potter.
Oh. And it's
been, like, too much of it.
Voldemort. And it's, like, a little red skullish, too, who we've already done.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, but what a fucking waste of a villain. Waste.
He
was, like you said, there was flashes at times where he was really, really good.
But he was at least good in it. Like, I don't think it was a complete waste. In the sense, like, it's not like the Mandarin from Iron Man 3 right. Waste, where he's, like, one of the best villains that character's ever had. But you're right. And it was, yeah, he was pretty badass, and you kind of, again, you understood his motivation. The character arcs and stories for some of the other ones. So I love Natalie Portman. Natalie Portman would be in my Steal a Smooch Hall of Fame.
Sure.
Good to see her back. I thought she had a kind of a tough time playing, like, the funny character, which is weird because she's good when she's on SNL. She's done those, like, SNL raps, which are hysterical. The Natalie Portman raps with Sandberg. They're hilarious. Like, I think, and she's an incredible actress, but I felt like they changed her character much like they did with Chris Hemsworth from Dark World to Ragnarok. And Hemsworth, like, picked it up great. Portman seemed a little odd trying to be, like, the funny one. Like, I like the idea of her looking for a catchphrase, but I thought it came across as kind of like, eh.
Did they ever say what she said? She whispered her catchphrase to him as in the end. They never said what it was, right?
No, I don't think so. I don't think they said.
It might have been the one that the Mighty Thor always says, but
come get this hammer.
which is now my catchphrase.
But this was like this. But this is what I was talking about in non-spoilers. Like, this was also a really heavy role where, like, she has stage 4 cancer. So it's like you have the slappiest movie in the world, and then one of your characters you keep having to go back to is dying from cancer.
And, like, you don't just mention that you actually show her going through the process and getting chemo and, like, having to, you know, I mean, that is just pretty heavy. I mean, if you have, like, a little kid. Like, little kids.
Oh, yeah. Did you watch this with your kids?
I did.
What did they say? Did they ask you about that?
And they just, I think my older one, she's like, so what's that? I'm like, that's when you have cancer, that's the treatment you get. You have to, it takes time and you have to sit there for a long time. And so she understands. She's 8. So she understands, like,
death.
She doesn't like it particularly. But my little one didn't really, my 6-year-old is like, all right, so she's sick. Okay, whatever. They were more scared when he was telling the story, when he ripped the head off the thing and was, like, trying to scare the kids. Like, they didn't like that
was one bit. That was definitely scary.
Yeah, they did not like that.
I actually thought, I was thinking of you because I know last time we said you're going to bring them. And I was watching that scene. I'm like, shit, 13-year-old Rich Keefe wouldn't have been able to handle that scene. Yeah. That was scary stuff. Like, he was a scary villain.
But that, I don't think that villain needed to do that. Because he cared so deeply about his own daughter that I don't think that character would have done that to kids.
Great point. Yeah, it's a great point.
I don't. That doesn't make sense to me. that I've watched my own daughter suffer. I would never make another person's child suffer.
Yeah, right. No, it's a good point.
Yeah.
I also think of this, and like, again, Taika Waititi could do whatever he wants to do. But like,
That guy's gonna,
you know what I mean? Like, we both think that, but it's like, as I'm watching, I'm like, man, like, the MCU is such a, like, an escape for so many people. And it's just like, to be able to sit there and just like enjoy 2 hours of a movie and then to be hammered over the head with a character dying of cancer. I'm like, man, that's a tough choice.
So speaking of Taika Waititi, did you read that article with him? His blunder that he made. So he's directing a Star Wars movie. I have a theory about what the Star Wars movie is, and
I heard this story. It's great.
But he asked if Natalie Portman wanted to be in it.
And she's like, yeah, I've been in Star Wars.
And he was like, oh, yeah. Like, he forgot that she was in Star Wars.
Yeah, my bad. Do you want to be in?
Like, yeah, that wouldn't really make any sense. Yeah, yeah. I've actually been in a Star Wars movie before.
So that was the Jane Foster, Mighty Thor. I like the Lady Thor. Don't call me that. I'm Mighty Thor. That was good stuff.
That was good.
Valkyrie. I feel like they didn't have anything for her to do. And so she was in like the one battle, and she's funny. Like, I actually like that character. I think it's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a cool power and all that shit. But then she, like, there's no payoff to her character. Like, she's having this whole conversation with Korg about how, like, she's like lonely, like, in that whole thing. And then it's just like nothing happens. And then she's like in one fight scene, then she gets hurt, and then she's like, yeah, guys, I'm out. And then they go do the final one without her. And you're like, the fuck? Like, she was just kind of there.
There was that whole, I liked the relationship with Jane and Valkyrie, like her trying to like help her along.
Yeah.
You know, girl power and all that stuff. I thought that was, I'm not being dismissive. I actually really did like that.
Yeah, I got
that back and forth. I thought that Tessa Thompson actually really helped out Natalie Portman. She kind of bailed her out.
Yeah.
In some of those things. Cause she, like you said, I don't think she can carry comedy. I don't think she can.
I was kind of surprised. It was like, damn, like she's, it didn't, it seemed forced or awkward or something. It wasn't.
And
really,
so for me, it was like, I thought maybe she's mailing it in. Maybe she just didn't really give a shit about this. But I like you said, God love her. God love her. I don't think she's a phenomenal actress.
She's one of the best.
I don't think she's that funny.
Or maybe she was just like, this is how the character would handle doing this. Like, maybe she was just like two in her head being like,
maybe
character's actually not funny. So this is how it would sound. I'm like, I don't fucking know.
But I did like the one conversation they did have that was good is like, who left who?
Yes.
And she's like, well, you left me. And she's like, well, actually, the whole reason you got a note is because you weren't there because you left.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah. That's like, we both left each other. No. You know?
And then so obviously she got blipped too, right? Because, she was like, how long has it been? 3 years? He's like, 8 years or whatever the whole thing. So,
yeah. So can I tell you the part that I fucking laughed out loud?
Is it the goats?
The goats, when they were approaching this dark shadow planet, and it's like they're on the precipice, and there's ominous music, and then you just hear like, like they crashed into the fucking thing. Like, it was actually small.
Yeah,
that was fucking. Goats are funny. I don't give a shit goats are funny.
Screaming goats were great, and I loved that whole scene. Like, that was a pretty good opening scene, even though the Guardians didn't do anything. It was just like a Thor like kick-ass scene, and he destroys their temple. Then the guy's like, I don't even want to talk about it, just like, whatever, fuck it. He's
make
like
me angry and sad.
Yeah, make, I'm gonna give you something, and here's these goats. He's like, and no gives these backsies, and he like fucking gives them the goats. Like,
you absolutely have to take them.
And then it's like, saddle them up and ride. Like, I'm in on that. The goats were funny. I'm here to admit for sure.
By the way, not a deep pull in Norse mythology, but that's how Thor gets around on a boat pull or a cart pulled by two goats.
Pretty sick.
That's his, and they have names, and the names are like impossible to pronounce.
And it looked pretty good too, didn't it? Like, when they were ripping those guys around.
Or even the Romans and Greeks.
Speaking of, Zeus was in this movie. Not very good, Ryan. And a couple things. First of all, like, he came across as just, and I know you're supposed to be an asshole, but it's like, it's different than that. It was like I don't know. I didn't really care for him at first. And then you're like, oh shit, Thor kills him. I thought Gore, the god butcher, was going to kill him. That was sort of an obvious one. As soon as you saw Russell Crowe pop up in the trailers and he's going to play Zeus, you're like, all right, he's going to die. Thor kills him. Or does he? Mid-credits scene, he is very much alive, and what kind of saves it, although they could have just killed him, Hercules looks legit. Hercules looks like
Roy fucking Kent. I fucking love Roy fucking Kent as Hercules. He's got a swear, right?
I would probably think so.
Was it Brett? His name's Brett. Kelly? I don't know.
Here's the question. Yeah,
he looked poof.
He looked legit. He looked like that was the fucking suit and everything. Here's the question. Is this one of those things, though, where is there even going to be a Thor 5? And if there is a Thor 5, is it so far down the road that they don't even fucking do Hercules?
No, I think, like, again, I think they're going to add people to Secret War that don't.
Yeah.
Might not necessarily have been in the comic like they did with Infinity War.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that whole premise is like the Celestials create this planet for like the people to duke it out, right? And I think they're going to add gods and goddesses to that mix. Yeah. And so you'll have heroes, villains, and like gods and goddesses like all fucking duking it out.
Yeah, it'll be heroes versus gods, right?
And villains, but like, did you read Secret Wars? Like people flip.
Maybe a long time ago.
Yeah, like people flip. Okay. I think Doctor Doom at one point flips. So you gotta get all these people involved. But
right.
Fucking Roy Kent. I love it.
You watched
Ted Lasso, right?
No, I never seen it.
Well,
I've seen him in like commercials and shit for it. Yeah. So yeah.
He's really funny in that show. So
what do you think of Korg in this? They rip his face off and he's just a face now.
Just a face. So I love that. So that is if you played God of War, so that's what happens to a Norse, the smartest man in the world. He gets his head cut off, but remains alive and helps people. So,
or even the Romans and Greeks.
You don't have to play that every time I talk about mythology. You don't have to do that.
It's just where my mind goes.
You should play the Skadi or Skadi one.
Yeah, Korg was funny, but like he set such a high bar for himself, and this is also
Mimir. Sorry.
Who is it?
Mimir.
Okay. Yeah, it speaks to sort of Marvel in general, like where their good movies are so fucking good that again you start comparing them to them. Korg, I thought was funnier earlier. He was good in this. Like I like Korg. Nobody doesn't like Korg. And then what'd you think of Meek as like the secretary, like taking notes
with his little suit? You could have done pretty more great with Meek. I feel bad. Meek kind of gets the short end of the stick most of the time.
Meek's a lady, I think, right? Did Valkyrie say she's taking notes at one point? I thought she might have.
I don't recall. Yeah. I did like Dwayne.
Question for the group.
The Korgan. I think that's what.
Oh, yeah.
His buddy, he was with the Freddie Mercury mustache. I thought that was really funny.
Yeah, that was
Dwayne. Held hands with Dwayne. Maybe.
Yeah, that's Dwayne. Awesome. Yeah, that was pretty good. All right, real quick, do you want to ping pong best and worst before we get out of here? Just best and worst stuff that whether we so best stuff for me, I think Gore the God Butcher was definitely one of the best things from the whole movie. He did all he could with the movie. He crushed it.
Should have been better.
Okay.
I would say Jane Foster was an eh. Okay. Valkyrie was good. Korg was good. I love Zeus. Nope.
Down.
Hated the accent, hated the overacting. Russell Crowe, he looked good until he turned to the side and they had a big fucking boiler on him. But that's Zeus, you know,
that's what they're playing up. Yeah,
Zeus. Yeah, so
you know what I love, you know what I absolutely loved actually, and it was quick, but I think they used it well, was the MCU debut of Eternity.
Yeah,
pretty fucking cool.
It looked good.
Just, it reminded me of the fucking Marvel card that I have of Eternity.
And there was like, one fucking obnoxious kid who's like, "It's Galactus." I'm like, "It's not."
Oh my, for Christ's sake! They just said it's Eternity,
right?
But like him sitting there with like the weird head and stuff, and him just like sitting there in front of him, and then like Gore, like they even explain it to you, you know, for 2-year-olds, they're like, "It's like a wishing well." So you go. In there.
I didn't like the end credit scene.
Oh, so Jane meets Heimdall on Valhalla
because. In the beginning of the movie, when Sif gets her arm cut off, and Thor says, "Well, you're not actually going to get in Valhalla because you didn't die in battle. So you have to die in battle." He's like, "Maybe your arm's there."
Yes.
Jane didn't die in battle. She died of cancer.
Loophole, I guess.
So, like,
yes. And so Shiv's still alive at the end. She's out there. Sif. Yeah. She's fighting Shiv.
Yeah.
My guy, Steve. She's out there still fighting it. I love the screaming goats. I loved some of the Thor and Jane stuff. Like we talked about, like some of their back and forth was pretty good.
What do you think the costumes? Costumes are fucking goofy.
Yeah. Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Am I wrong there?
You're leaning on more bad stuff, I feel like.
Oh, I thought we were ping-ponging. Doing good, bad, good, bad, good, bad.
No matter. Where do you come down on the music?
Love the music.
A lot of Guns N' Roses.
A lot of Guns N' Roses. Then Rainbow in the Dark.
Yeah.
Dio at the end. The pride of Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
I like Dio. I rock so, like, it, rock so
like,
hard.
If you're listening to this and you don't like fucking Dio, like, piss off.
Just take a hike.
Yeah.
Again, I didn't like the kid stuff, Thor taking on the kid, all that stuff. And also this. So I get why Taika Waititi wants to make a comedy, and he's hysterical and he wants to be funny. And I get that. And go for jokes. Go throw as many jokes as you want. I would have to say that the one throwaway line, or the one throwaway joke, that there's an ice cream place called Infinity Cones.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
Thanos destroyed half of the population and ruined people's lives. They were gone for 5 years. They came back. Everything's gone. You wouldn't even make that joke.
So with an ice cream store called Infinity Cones, would you say that that's in bad taste?
Yes, I would.
You're going to have problems, just like everything else. But stay positive and stay strong.
But they did have some, here's another good thing. There are some mythology deep pulls that we had there. Did you notice they mentioned Bast?
Oh, no.
They mentioned Bast, which is one, an African god, which is mentioned in Moon Knight, but is also the god responsible for Black Panther.
Okay, well, I like that. Yeah, so there's some nice little Easter eggs.
There's a nice little Easter egg there. Yeah.
It's pretty good.
There you go.
I like that. Now, do you want a Thor 5?
No.
Okay. And then
I don't think Chris Hemsworth wants a Thor 5 either. It's like, well, let's do what we're going to do, and then I'm done.
He's been Thor 9 times.
Yes.
It's a lot of times to be Thor.
But man alive, was he in the best shape of his life in this movie? Or?
Oh, it's jacked.
Jesus Christ.
Can you be too jacked? I mean, he was jacked off. What? All right, you have anything else on Thor? You didn't love it. You're giving it a 4. I'm giving it a 4.5.
It was funny, but this is a comedy movie. If you it's a solid comedy movie.
Yeah. No, that's true. All right, so that's Thor Love and Thunder. Let us know. Oh, by the way, I put it out in the chat, and we were getting let's see, let's rip through some of these scores here. We got a 4.5, a 3.25, a 4.5, a 3, another 3. Yeah, people weren't really going crazy for this one. So there you go. Now, we are going to jump on to a different live stream for The Boys Season 3 so it can be its own YouTube. So just either, I don't know how you do that, stay on YouTube and just find another link, or I'll tweet out what the link is.
I think so. If you're on YouTube, I think if you just refresh it.
Oh, it might just load up.
It's just a different link for us. It'll just load right up.
All right, very good. So I'm going to let this one go. Ryan, I know you don't give a shit about anything, but hopefully you give a shit about The Boys Season 3 because that's coming up next. All right. At Dork Podcast, by the way, on all the social stuff. So give it, throw us a follow. All right, we'll be right back talking The Boys.